The Marine and the Hippie is a weekly conversation about current events aimed at presenting alternative viewpoints while looking for common ground. We are the Marine and the Hippie.
Welcome to the Marine and the Hippie. I am the Hippie coming at you from France in Season 2, Dialogue 8, The Kit and Caboodle. Now, I don't need to tell you that yesterday Will Smith smacked Chris Rock across the face. Yeah, it's not funny. And the only thing I could think about was, well, number one, the first thing that I read about it was the Academy Awards response on Twitter was that we don't condone violence. And it made me laugh. Why? They don't condone violence. What about, let's say, we could start with, let's say, Marvel, go to DC Comics, talk about Batman, and then maybe jump over to The Godfather, and talking about, like, the mafia and violence, and then talk about maybe Heat, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro going at it violently. We could talk about, let's see, all of the Rocky films.
All of the war films, all of the westerns, all of the dramas. Yeah, every single movie.
Everything? So, yes, they condone violence. And, you know, we can also just look at what's happening in the media today with violence. And we can take a look at none other than Alec Baldwin, the guy who is an actor who shoots his camera woman. And his first response is what? To call the police? No. To cry? No. To call his lawyer and say, hey, what should my response be to the police so I don't go to jail? I just fucking killed somebody. We're in a really fucked up period of time in which logic is not working. So, I don't really understand this story. I don't understand the issue. Man, I remember G.I. Jane, Demi Moore. I grew up. I'm a 73 baby. St. Elmo's Fire, Demi Moore, beautiful, smoking, awesome, attractive, beautiful woman, G.I. Jane. Now, to be compared to G.I. Jane, doesn't seem to be anything connected to her medical condition, but more connected to the fact that in the front row, at the Academy Awards, which is an impromptu roast of celebrities, the MC sees a beautiful woman in the front row with a shaved head and makes a direct connection to a film from the past. You know, it would have been a little bit different if, let's say, it was Will Smith sitting there with a shaved head and he was sick and Chris Rock had said, hey, Will Smith, looks like you're getting ready for Philadelphia 2. No, that would be wrong. And Jada Smith should be able to go up and fucking smack the shit out of him and he should be carried off. But that's not what happened. And now what happened is just another, like, the phone and we don't know. Because I assume that by the time Chris Rock got off stage and picked up his cell phone and looked through his messages, there was a message from the number one jerk that said, if you press charges, you will never work in this town again. What do you think, Doc?
Well, I got to tell you, while we were on break between our pre-show and this, while I was shopping and I was out eating ramen, I happened to look on the internet and discovered that Chris Rock indeed will not be pressing charges for being physically assaulted on international television. People in Australia, this is where I saw the assault, was someone took a film of their TV as it was going down and sent it over Twitter to the world. So literally he's being assaulted on international broadcast, getting the taste slapped out of his mouth, to use the common parlance. And then Will Smith just goes back and sits down and nothing happens to the guy. Now, the idea, as you mentioned, that Hollywood would say they don't condone violence. Well, yeah, they do. And they might, you know, split hairs and say, well, we don't condone, you know, actual violence. We only condone depicted, portrayed violence. But the kind of violence that they portray on their movies, is very graphic and very gory and ultra realistic.
I would just say the one movie, Jackass.
Well, yeah, that's a very violent movie, but they're doing violence themselves. I would suggest another movie, the movie I will never, ever watch again. And this movie is called Seven, where they go through and basically torture people to death for 2 hours. And it's a very disgusting, you know, very vulgar, very base movie that appeals to very prurient interests among its audience. And absolutely, Hollywood condones violence. They not only condone it, they make money off of it.
And the story of Mickey and Mallory, natural born killers. I mean, shaved head, guy, both of them killing people. Like, that was the dream. That was their life. They were living their own American dream, killing people and being in love. So, no, the fact that the Academy said that they don't condone violence is a bunch of hogwash. It would be the equivalent of the family in Indiana, the family who, like, started, like, the heroin issue or the opiate crisis. And, well, they're not culpable because they don't condone the use of it because they weren't users themselves. It's like moronic. It's moronic logic. And we buy in, which makes who the morons. We'll get back to that when we come back from break on season 2, dialogue 8, The Kit and Caboodle.
Hey, this is Doc.
And this is Dylan.
And you're listening to Marine and the Hippie. Hello, everybody. You're listening to Marine and the Hippie. This is dialogue number 8. We are talking about the whole kit and caboodle where basically someone mentions some kind of comment, gets a smack in the face, and then the people who profit off of that sort of behavior that demonstrate that and model that behavior for our society every day for the last 100 years step back and say, hey, we don't condone that stuff. When they absolutely do. And as Dylan mentioned before, you know, let's talk about the Sackler family. We researched their names, and this is how important they are to my life. Not at all. I didn't even know what they were called, but they're called the Sacklers. They're super rich. And they have been fighting for years to avoid any kind of personal culpability for their profiteering off of the sale of OxyContin and various opioids to the American population. Now, in this country, of course, we've had major drug epidemics in the past. We had heroin epidemics. At the beginning of the 20th century, we had cocaine epidemics. We've had crack epidemics. We've had every other kind of epidemic, meth epidemic. You know, people smoked bath salts in Florida for a long time. But the opioid epidemic apparently is the new epidemic du jour, and the Sackler family has made hundreds of billions of dollars off of the sale of this drug, which is highly addictive. And they were selling it to customers as being completely safe. That's like literally saying, here, drink some Drano. It's perfectly safe for your health. We have no responsibility what you do with it, but we're just telling you this is consumable and fun and will ease your pain. You know, I don't know what to do with that information. You know, what should happen to those guys? I mean, they should obviously have all of their wealth stolen, but how should their wealth be returned to people? I don't have any idea how that would work.
Well, the wealth should be returned to people by maybe let's stop the argument, and because I don't know who's arguing with us, but just give Americans medical insurance. It would seem to make sense because then at least people can get care when they get addicted to some drug that's being toted as like, hey, this is a healthy drug. This isn't a bad one. I mean, we haven't seen that before, like, you know, like with cigarettes, you know, on the package, it used to say, hey, if you want a healthy baby, smoke Virginia Slims. If you want a strong cock, smoke Marlboros, non-filters, whatever, man. Like, we are in a very weird period of time in which the world is not, or Americans are not willing to listen, to think, and to change.
And it seems like one of the biggest issues here is that the wealthy seem to get away with this kind of stuff. There's like two sets of laws. And in this case, you know, I'm not really a fan of Mr. John Edwards, the former senator from the state of South Carolina and also running part-time running mate, et cetera, et cetera. But he mentioned that there were two Americas. There's one for the wealthy and there's one for all the rest of us. There's two sets of laws. There's two sets of rules. And the wealthy seem to get away with it. I mean, we're now looking at being more than a year out of the Donald Trump administration. And I'm not one of these guys that, you know, thinks about Donald Trump every single day or this kind of thing. But the guy is obviously guilty of like innumerable number of crimes. You know, I mean, he's obviously guilty of all this, and yet he still walks free. He walks absolutely free. He's at complete and total liberty. Now, I understand the whole idea of you're guilty until you're proven innocent in the court of law or whatever the case may be, but he's never going to go to trial. So he's never going to have the opportunity to be proven guilty in the court of law because he's never going to go to trial because nobody's ever going to take him to trial. And now they're actually talking about the things that he did in New York being too old to prosecute. Like, come on. You know, is that a surprise? And yet if I were to go up on the stage and smack the shit out of Chris Rock, you could bet I'd be taken out of there in handcuffs and thrown into jail and be sued to the edge of my life.
I've accepted that we are. And this goes back to the show last week. So if you're looking for more on this, listen to the show last week. The idea that I understand that Chris Rock, Will Smith, Jada, all of Hollywood, all of Viacom, all of these things exist, all of these entities exist because of me, because I'm a consumer, because I buy these things. I go and I get my big popcorn and my soda, and I go into the movie theater and I watch the new movie. Oh, this is great. Woo! New Marvel, awesome. New Batman, awesome. Another Batman, not so awesome. Another Batman, not so awesome. Oh, can we not do Batman anymore? Anyway, moving on. It just keeps on going and going and going. And we buy and we consume and we support these people. But what they don't do is they don't support us back. They don't show us, number one, help during a pandemic by saying, yeah, we're going to use our collective power, which is $1 trillion, to say, at least for the interim, all medicals taken care of, period. Because we're going to foot the bill for our fans. Nope, they just increased their wealth and said, screw you to the fans. And when it comes to them getting in trouble, they say, no, I'm rich. I'm not getting in trouble because I have literally have a different set of laws that I have to abide by, which are the laws that I make up as I go. There aren't a set. The set is I have money, I have a lawyer, and I'm going to make it up as I go. If I shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, well, by the time it's done, it's going to be okay to shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. So it's okay. You know, it'll be okay that I did that because I'm Donald Trump. Or again, Alec Baldwin, I don't understand it. I don't understand how people can support him. The logic behind it is the first thing this jerk did was called his lawyer. That's fact. That's not me like being funny or happy or on the show. That's fact. That's what he did. He called his lawyer. That's his first response. And Will Smith going up, our first response is to give him a free pass. No, not a free pass. He should go to jail. Period. Because if it was you or me, we would.
Real quick, before break, let me remind you all back when Dick Cheney was a vice president of the United States of America, and he went out hunting in South Dakota with his friends, longtime friends, very close political connections and other kind of stuff. He ended up leveling his gun on one of his friends and shooting the dude right in the face. The guy had a load of buckshot right in his face. And after about a week or a week and a half, the person who was the victim of that shooting, first of all, nothing happened to Dick Cheney as a result of this. But the victim of that shooting comes onto national television and says, actually, it was my fault. I got in front of his gun. I shouldn't have been there. He was aiming in on a duck, and I happened to stand up in front of him, and that's how he ended up shooting me. It's all my fault. Don't blame him. That's literally what Hollywood is doing right now. That's literally what is happening. It's not only that they commit crime, they get away with it, and also they get someone else to take the blame for it. So they're off scot-free. It's amazing. That's what, you know, that's to add on to what Mr. Baldwin is doing as well. He got someone else to take the blame for loading the gun or whatever the case may be. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Marine and the Hippie, Dialogue 8, Season 2, the whole kit and caboodle, and we'll be back after this break. Hey, this is Doc with Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Marine, and let me just say, make love, not war. Peace.
Welcome back to The Marine and the Hippie, Season 2, Dialogue 8, the whole kit and caboodle, and how Hollywood is creating the narrative to avoid prosecution. So a new movie, Feel Good Movie, came out. It's the only movie that I've seen in 2 years because I was invited with friends. And I went to see a movie called Licorice Pizza. What's it about? Well, spoiler alert. So shut off the ears. It's about a 25-year-old or 28-year-old who falls in love or is being chased by like a 16-year-old. And at the end, they get together. Now, let's break it down because the logic of this, okay? The logic of this story, before you break it down, before you imagine it, you have to know something. The whole film, the girl is, because she looks like a girl. She's not, you know, 25 to 28-year-old who's like, you know, fat or out of shape. She's fit. She's cute. She's got perky little breasts.
Is this a 16-year-old actress or is...
No, it's a 28-year-old actress.
Oh, okay.
And she's after this... And there's this like 15-year-old or 16-year-old who's like after her and she's kind of into him and they get together.
Oh, the lady is older.
Yeah, the lady is older, right? Okay. Right? And all I could think about after this film was, number one, I didn't like it. Because it was too slow because like when I was 16 to 28, I was like running around. So this movie was like the slow thing. And I was like, but 16-year-olds and 28-year-olds move really fast and this thing's slow. So it doesn't make sense. But what I do believe it to be, as Doc was kind of bringing up, is kind of creating a narrative so that, well, you know, when Ghislaine Maxwell finally gives up her old black book of all the names of the conspirators with Jeffrey Epstein on the island and all the kids that they were banging, it's normalized. So when the jurors and the society get there, it's okay. There is no problem. There is just utter acceptance. There is just, oh yeah, no, it's normal. There's, you know, yeah, that person was like 60 and she was only like 17. But 60 and 17, it's not that big of a jump when, you know, we this film that's beautiful had like a 26-year-old and a 16-year-old. It's fine. It's not fine. The film's not fine. Because that's what it glorifies. We don't glorify sexual predators. Well, that's a film that glorifies sexual predators. This is an adult going after a boy, period. Going after a kid, not a boy, a kid. Because that's what he is, Doc.
And this is an interesting word. I think we talked about this word a little bit before we started the show, this word glorification. It's not merely acceptance that they're promoting here. It's glorification. When they talk about they don't accept violence, or in the case of this movie, I haven't seen the movie, you know, I don't have any idea what goes on in it, but... you know, acceptance of this wide age gap, you know, it's not just acceptance that they're doing. It's creating glorification. It's making these people seem heroic or noble or, you know, moral or ethical in some way. Like, for example, you know, you look at Saving Private Ryan. This movie is about a massive war where, you know, one side was literally, and you don't even have to know which side it is, the other side, they were murdering the other side by the boatload. Okay, and this is shown to us as being something honorable, so that when we actually are in a war, like for example, this business, you know, with Ukraine, we're perfectly willing to accept, you know, the fact that some soldiers are going to have to be sacrificed because it's an honorable sacrifice on their part. It's totally honorable for, you know, NATO to possibly get involved in this war, even though this war might lead to nuclear annihilation. That's totally cool. That's totally cool because sometimes you just have to make those sacrifices. Sometimes you just have to do that thing for the noble purpose of spreading democracy or whatever the hell we're doing over in Ukraine. You know, not to take anything away from Licorice Pizza, but in the word is glorification, and that's exactly right. That's exactly what we're doing. And that's why when we see, you know, one grown man go up on stage and literally smack the crap out of another grown man, we're just like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, it was totally legit. or oh, that was totally uncalled for. Oh no, not it's assault, because assault is a crime.
There are two sides to this story. Right. It's not assault. There are two sides.
No, it's a straight up case of assault. Any jury, if they had to look at that footage and see any jury looking at normal people in that same situation would watch one person walk up and beat the shit out of another person. That's assault. And that person goes to jail.
Yeah, and we're not talking like across like a bar table. We're talking about like actually like walking up on a fucking stage.
Yeah, at an event. At a formal event where they're both in tuxedos and one dude just smacked. It's not a bar fight. We're not talking about a crime of passion here. He literally got up. He took the time to get up and walk onto the stage and smack the dude in front of how many millions of people. And yet now Chris Rock is like, you know, you mentioned this before. Chris Rock probably got on the horn and is like, well, I'm going to owe this guy's going to owe me a favor now. So I won't press charges. In a normal crime, the state would press charges. Because a person like that is a menace to society. A person that goes out and assaults people, the state would press charges. It's not up to the individual, the aggrieved person, to press charges. It's up to the state to press charges. And the state ain't going to do it either because it's Will Smith.
And the state should. Everyone should fall under the same laws. And we should live in a fair and just society. And we don't. So, sorry. Anyway, thanks for listening to The Marine and the Hippie, Season 2, Dialogue 8, The Whole Kit and the Caboodle. Sorry if I spoiled the movie for you. Sorry if you like Chris Rock and Will Smith and now you don't. I don't know. But thanks for listening. Ciao.
This is Marine also saying ciao. Peace out.
Hey, this is Dylan with The Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Hippie.
For more information on The Marine, follow Doc at Supernova_Earth on Twitter and listen to the Supernova Earth Show on Spotify. For more information on The Hippie, follow Dylan at Gezi and Me on Twitter and read his blog at observationsfromthespectrum.org.